listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the 26th Annual Hollywood Edition of Vanity Fair Magazine. This is Vanity Fair Part A. The Hollywood 2020 edition features Eddie Murphy, Renee Zellweger, and Jennifer Lopez on the cover. From the editors behind the issue, 100 gowns, 400 shoes, 2 motorcycles, 1 tractor, and a cast to die for. Late last October, Vanity Fair seized one cavernous hangar and 3 studios at Los Angeles' Milk Studios to celebrate 23 of the year's most exciting names in film in the magazine's 26th annual Hollywood cover and portfolio. For his first Hollywood issue, photographer Ethan James Green and set designer Julia Wagner created a surrealist Route 66. Part Technicolor, part Ed Ruscha, for a stylized voyage through some of cinema's greatest genres. There were tractors, escalades, cacti, and motorcycles, as well as more than 100 gowns, more than 400 pairs of shoes, and enough carats of fine jewelry to require nearly a dozen armed guards. Traditionally, the fashion has always been through the lens of glamour and the red carpet, and this year it was really fun to play dress-up and create all of these interesting characters that we meet along the way, said Executive Fashion Director Samira Nasser. Senior West Coast editor Britt Hennemuth cast the portfolio. Producers Tara Johnson and Michael Kramer kept the elaborate production on the road, along with entertainment director Allison Ward Frank. The actors were interviewed about their real-life journeys by Hennemuth. Special correspondent Anthony Bresnikan and executive Hollywood editor Jeff Giles. Says Hennemuth, from movie stars to breakouts, this year's group will stand the test of time. In the photos, creative movement director Stephen Galloway and Alfre Woodard. Shoes on set, Antonio Banderas, Renee Zellweger, Vanity Fair entertainment director Allison Ward Frank, and senior West Coast editor Britt Hennemuth. Vanity Fair executive fashion director Samira Nasser and Taylor Russell. Taika Waititi. Here are some of this month's contributors. Mark Harris. The Great Entertainers. Interesting second and third acts are what really define stardom, says the best-selling author of Pictures at a Revolution. And if you're as talented as the people on this issue's cover, it makes sense that the deeper you get into your career, the more subtle and surprising your work will become. Harris's third book, A Biography of Mike Nichols, will be published in late 2020. He is covering the Oscar race exclusively for Vanity Fair. Joy Press, Kenya Barris levels up. The Vanity Fair television correspondent who visited director and producer Kenya Barris on the set of his new show, Hashtag Black Excellence, says she never would have guessed that it's also his first major acting role. Watching Kenya riff on set with his screen wife, Rashida Jones, was a surprisingly playful experience, she says. They approach each scene as if it were an experiment, careening off in slightly different directions with each take. Ewol Erisku, Kenya Barris levels up. The Ethiopian-American artist knew that his photographs of Kenya Barris needed to symbolize the wisdom of the exchange they had when they first met at an artist residency in 2018. For me, the owl, which we joked on set was a bigger flex than the watch on his other wrist, parallels Kenya's sharp vision and keen observation. Erisku's show, Mystic Parallax, opens this March at the Flag Art Foundation. Richard Rushfield, Nerve Agent. Rushfield, who's the editor of the entertainment newsletter The Ankler, has been an avid industry observer since he was 12 years old. For his piece in this issue about the fallout from blue-chip agency WME's scuttled IPO and CEO Ari Emanuel's next move, he spoke with the mega agent's former employees and says that he was struck by the loyalty and affection they feel for him, given his reputation for bombastic behavior. Maureen O'Connor, Regrets Only. O'Connor saw how life has and has not changed lately for Peggy Siegel, the publicist who socialized with Jeffrey Epstein. She just had surgery to repair a condition caused by typing on her BlackBerry, the writer says. Back in the 90s, Peggy sought medical help for neck pain caused by holding her phone receiver between her ear and shoulder. O'Connor will next cover Harvey Weinstein's criminal trial for VF.com. from Radhika Jones, Editor-in-Chief, comes this month's editor's letter for the Hollywood 2020 issue, The Road to Hollywood. In the photo, Margaret Qualley and Radhika Jones backstage at the Hollywood shoot. I write this at the dawn of the 20s, less roaring than blustering so far. The year 2020 always sounded so futuristic, and yet here we are, having closed out the Skywalker saga, and with it my childhood, and proved indisputably that Cats does not have 9 lives at the box office. War drums beat, bushfires burn, and the great escapism of cinema offers respite and provocation alike. So here is our annual Hollywood issue, celebrating a terrific year at the movies and looking ahead to the next season in film. Every year, Vanity Fair travels the festival circuit from Sundance to Cannes, Telluride to Toronto, seeing movies and charting and creating buzz, and this time, as the slate of films unfolded, we were struck by the number of legends bestriding the screen like the acting colossuses that they are. Many appeared on our covers over the past 12 months. Laura Dern, Adam Driver, Lupita Nyong'o, Joaquin Phoenix. And 3 more came together for this cover, shot by Vanity Fair contributing photographer Ethan James Green. I won't wax lyrical about their performances. Mark Harris does that beautifully, but I will say that paramount on our minds when making that image was the versatility, persistence, and sheer scope of talent represented by Jennifer Lopez, Eddie Murphy, and Renee Zellweger. They are road warriors, not just of this season, but of our era, and we'd follow them down any highway. Our trio kicks off a photographic road trip that I hope you'll experience both digitally and in the magazine. Online, the images create a surreal Route 66, scrolling through American film archetypes. In print, they unfold into lush panoramas of our cinematic dreamscape. We feature newcomers and veterans alike, from Beanie Feldstein and Park So-dam to Willem Dafoe and Antonio Banderas. Behind the scenes in Hollywood, change is afoot, and we've got that covered too, from Maureen O'Connor's account of the precipitous fall of publicist Peggy Siegel, starting from the fateful moment last summer on a yacht, Natch, when she learned that her name would be linked with Jeffrey Epstein's in the damning reports of his crimes, to Joy Press's revealing profile of Kenya Barris as he prepares for his first Netflix show after leaving broadcast TV. Executive Hollywood editor Jeff Giles and VF.com editor Matt Lynch presided over the issue, which looks fondly back. Remember the fake club, the 80s Hollywood hotspot? And perceptively forward, what's next for Ari Emanuel and his power agency? The movies have never felt more everywhere. They come not only to our multiplexes and art houses, but to our home screens and our phones. And in February, Vanity Fair brings our legacy of Hollywood photography to the exhibition space in a show titled Vanity Fair, Hollywood Calling, mounted in partnership with the Annenberg Space for Photography in Los Angeles. Iconic images from the magazine's archives, created by the likes of Annie Leibovitz, Collier Shore, and David LaChapelle, depicting stars from Whoopi Goldberg and Tom Hanks to Michael B. Jordan and Ali Wong, pay homage to our legacy of creating and reflecting contemporary film iconography, capturing star power in glorious technicolor and glamorous black and white. The show opens February 8th, and we'll see you there. Vanity Fair, Hollywood Calling, February 8th to July 26th. Vanity Fair Hollywood Calling features photographic portraiture and multimedia installations that capture the magic and glamour of the film and television industry's major players from the last four decades. The exhibition is a look at the Hollywood stars, the parties, and the power brokers through the distinctive lens of Vanity Fair, the most widely celebrated journalistic arbiter of Hollywood power and personality. The new exhibition at Annenberg Space for Photography, 2000 Avenue of the Stars, Los Angeles, California. Admission always free. In the photos, Michael B. Jordan, photographed by Cass Bird, Vanity Fair, November 2018. Opening act. Lashana Lynch enters the James Bond legacy at a pivotal moment in its history. No Time to Die, the installment out in April, will be the first film in the almost 60-year-old $7 billion franchise to land in a post-hashtag MeToo world. The British actress, who broke out as Maria Rambeau in Captain Marvel, has shaken and stirred Hollywood's modern classic. Arriving is Nomi, the new 00 agent and rumored heir apparent as Daniel Craig takes his last Aston Martin ride. Here, some insights gleaned from a conversation with a woman undercover by Britt Hennemuth. Opening photograph by Christina Ebenezer, styled by Ola Ebiti, Lashana Lynch, 32. Pictured here. She was born in London to Jamaican parents, and an early passion for R&B enticed her to drama school. You can't sing without acting, and you can't act without singing. It's all sounds, accents, and emotion. She favored Brandy, Mariah Carey, SWV, and Boys to Men. I had a lot of fun singing with a hairbrush to those. She studied at the prestigious Arts Ed School and cut her teeth on London stages before American TV titan Shonda Rhimes cast her in the short-lived ABC series Still Star-Crossed in 2017. It was colorblind casting at its finest. It doesn't have to be exact. It just needs to be honest. Her 007 training started early. When I was only months old, my dad would sit me down under his arm on the couch and make me watch Bond. She's hard-pressed to pick a favorite. Daniel Craig brings the grittiness of London, which I absolutely love. But after Daniel, it's impossible to answer, because they all bring something really spicy. I did like Sean Connery. Her gadget of choice would be a time-traveling watch that could make me a fly on the wall anywhere. She hopes her character, Nomi, brings a new layer of relatability to the world of espionage. When you're dealing with a franchise that has been slick for so many years, I wanted to throw a human spin on it, to deal with anxiety and be someone who's figuring it out, completely on her toes. She credits Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who was recruited to polish the film's script, with bringing an evolved female perspective to the Bond girls of the past. She injected a natural richness into Nomi. Phoebe was able to cater to the women and bring something punchy, unique, and fresh. The buzz surrounding a modernized franchise has led some online trolls to be upset that the next 007 might be played by a black woman. The good can be bad and also sad, Lynch says. It's healthy to talk about it because it reminds you, unfortunately, about where the world is right now, but also of the work that we have to do as people who have a platform to speak. Up next, she stars in Why, an FX series directed by Melina Matsoukas, based on the comic book series set in a post-apocalyptic world ruled by women. I would say many people in the world right now have dreams of a female-run world, and we actually get to fulfill that dream. Fan mail, said Brie Larson, her empathy and humanity as an actor bring magic to every scene. Daniel Craig said, Lashana moves like a cat. And Melina Matsoukas said, we enjoyed jumping around Brooklyn. Lashana's very much a Brooklynite, even though she's from Britain. Cheers. Paramount's Hollywood Cocktails book pairs their films with drink recipes. Here, three classics. The Talented Mr. Ripley. The ne plus ultra adaptation of Patricia Highsmith's beloved thriller, replete with creamy fashion and ice-cold kills. To make an Americano, 1 ounce Campari, 1 ounce sweet vermouth, 1 ounce club soda, 1 lemon slice. Pour Campari and sweet vermouth into a rocks glass filled with ice. Top with club soda and garnish with lemon slice. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, a buddy comedy with a dash of romance, wrapped in a love letter to Chicago and doused in one of film's great unsung soundtracks. To make a Ferrari named Desire, 1.5 ounces bourbon, 3/4 ounce mint and lemon verbena syrup, 3/4 ounce lemon juice, 4 dashes Angostura bitters, 1 mint sprig. Combine bourbon, syrup, and lemon juice in a cocktail shaker filled with ice and shake vigorously. Strain into a rocks glass filled with ice. Top with bitters, and garnish with mint. Beverly Hills Cop. Peak Eddie Murphy Improv, sunny L.A., a gallery assistant peddling artisanal coffee. 35 years and 2 sequels later, Netflix is now planning round 4. To make an espresso martini, 3 parts vodka, 1 part Kahlua, 2 parts espresso, handful of espresso beans. Place vodka, Kahlua, and espresso in a cocktail shaker filled with ice. Shake vigorously, strain into a cocktail glass, and garnish with espresso beans. in the My Stuff column, Mixmaster. Interior designer Chiara de Rege, the aesthetic force behind The Wing and Carolina Herrera's New York flagship, embraces the old and the new. Travel and entertainment, listening to Liz Goldwyn's The Sex Ed, Desert Island Books, John Steinbeck's East of Eden, and James Salter's Light Years. Vacation spot, my family home in Piemonte, Italy. We donated half of it to the Italian National Trust and live in the other half. Plane must-haves, cashmere blanket and eye set, Tada Harper's resurfacing mask and Shiva Rose's glow face balm. Home, architectural styles. I know this is a contradiction, but I am drawn to both Beaux-Arts and 1930s. And I cannot imagine a world without modern architects such as Le Corbusier, Philip Johnson, Mies van der Rohe, and Oscar Niemeyer. Furniture, Christina Celestino's furniture, tiles, carpet, wallpaper, and lighting. She's a Renaissance woman. Career idol, Madeleine Castaign. Recent addition, Maison C Fabrics, adapted from the wallpaper line I co-founded with the artist Costanza Teodoli Braschi. In bed, I love Olat's pajamas and Desportant bedding. Flora, bodega flowers arranged in vessels from antique stores upstate. Candle, diptych feu de bois. Dish set, Wes Gordon's Carolina Herrera tabletop line with Cabana. Four-legged friend, my 17-year-old Chihuahua, Klaus. He is a grumpy old man, but my first baby and love of my life. Style and wellness, perpetually worn accessory, my Nana's wedding band, and Foundry charms. Go-to shoes, sneakers from my baby daddy, currently off-white Nikes, Gucci loafers, or Le Monde barrel slippers. Supplements, wooden spoon, super green protein, and anything Dr. Gabrielle Francis at the Urban Alchemist tells me to take. Workout, walking through Central Park and Ballet Beautiful with Mary Helen Bowers. Dining, morning beverage, bulletproof espresso before I take my daughter to school. Indulgence, daily croissant. Restaurant, Sushi of Gari on the Upper East or Upper West Side.
Thank you.
Keziah Weir writes on books. Sleep Study, a new edition of Federico Fellini's The Book of Dreams, offers a deep look into the director's subconscious. When Federico Fellini accepted the Palme d'Or for La Dolce Vita in 1960, the director was already embarking on a fresh creative process influenced by the teachings of Carl Jung. Newly interested in his own nocturnal fantasies, he began cataloging them in what would become a lifelong project, The Book of Dreams. Between romps with such characters as Ingmar Bergman, Charlie Chaplin, and a bevy of big-butted women, the filmmaker's dreams are filled with the same existential search that pervades his oeuvre. All that we can do is try to become aware that we are part of this unfathomable mystery, he writes, beneath a peaceful illustration of a starry sky. We are a mystery among mysteries. In the photos, Fellini on the set of La Dolce Vita, a promotional poster, Rizzoli's new edition of The Book of Dreams, which includes an English translation and essays from collaborators. In one dream, Fellini eats spaghetti with the deceased Carl Jung, a very handsome old man. Cozy up. Fiction fit for binging, whether on a long flight or a long weekend at home. Amnesty by Aravind Adiga, published by Scribner. In this smart twist on a classic whodunit, Danny, undocumented and working as a house cleaner in Sydney after fleeing Sri Lanka, has information about an unsolved murder. He must decide whether to stay silent or come forward and risk deportation. The Mercies by Kieran Millwood Hargrave, published by Little Brown. Spun from real-life events, this lyrical novel charts the aftermath of a fatal storm in a 17th-century Norwegian fishing village, a town almost exclusively composed of women and girls, and the violent, witch-burning newcomer, hell-bent on their conversion. The Exhibition of Persephone Q, by Jesse Jasoska Stevens, published by FSG. When a slightly aimless young woman living in a post-9/11 New York is surprised to see herself in the untitled lead image of her former fiancé's photography exhibit, she sets off on a quest to discover his motives, and with help from interesting acquaintances, a larger truth. Weather by Ginny Uphill, published by Knopf. Time flies by in this wry story of a family, librarian Lizzie, her classics buff husband, their son, and her brother, a recovering addict. Apocalypse, climate, and otherwise, looms over the narrative, and yet it is funny and hopeful, too. Molly Bit, by Dan Bivacqua, published by Simon & Schuster, a slick page-turner that dives headfirst into the celluloid world of celebrity and obsession through the rags-to-riches story of a star. Thank you. secret society. From no-photo enclaves to women-only workspaces, a new breed of exclusive clubs fuels LA's social landscape, where celebrities and creatives powwow and party. In a town that touts privacy, which will stay famous? Opening illustration by Henny Hayworth. Rumors are swirling of a members-only bar, don't call it a club, set to open later this year. A cheeky oasis for power dining and private stays from the nostalgia experts behind the Sunset Tower Hotel. The London Import, founded by the late tech titan Paul Allen and musician Dave Stewart, hosts record label execs and screenwriters poolside. The Female First workspace, where Jay-Z and Beyoncé threw their Halloween party. Michelin-starred pop-up dining, where entrepreneurs and producers can network in sleek corporate settings. The latest Soho House outpost is a familiar post-game stop for sports fans and concert-going members. Shine on! Giorgio Armani cemented his status as a red carpet go-to in the late 1980s, see Diane Keaton and Michelle Pfeiffer, in part because his designs maintain a sleek modernity without tipping toward trendy. Armani's new foray into fine jewelry, a suite of 78 pieces, including the crisp brooches in onyx and diamond, shown here, is fitting given his penchant for enduring classics. Jewelry, he says, is destined to last over time. Character sketch. I grew up in Harlem, and my experiences there have informed every part of my personality, says artist Tashabalala Self, whose new solo exhibition, Out of Body, is on view at ICA Boston through summer. Self's mixed media paintings, evocative figures and vivid hues, are influenced not only by her extremely energetic home neighborhood, but also by a wide range of inspirations, including the work of Horace Pippin, Sabrina Strings, Fearing the Black Body, and Butterfield 8. Shown here, Sock, from 2018, and Belly Fat, from 2016. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Both parts stream via the World Wide Web at those times and are available as a podcast. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.